Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Rishi Sunak has reportedly told the COVID-19 inquiry that he's unable to provide WhatsApp messages from his time as Chancellor during the pandemic because he failed to back them up. It comes as the second stage of the inquiry begins today. Jeremy Hunt has outlined plans to look again at the benefit sanctions regime to make it harder for people to claim welfare while not looking seriously for a job. It's alongside a pledge to increase the national minimum wage to at least £11 an hour for workers aged 23 and over from April. We've spoken to people about what they think about it.
We all want more money, don't we? So, because people work hard now for the money.
Encourage more people to get back into work.
You're going shopping every time you go up. It costs more.
Any increase is going to be better, yeah.
And food prices have fallen on the previous month for the first time in more than 2 years, according to official figures. It brings grocery inflation down to single digits. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Sophia Lewis-Hobbs.
Oh, I need petrol.
In 100 yards, turn left. Don't forget to scan your Nectar card or app.
Eh?
Collect Nectar points every time you refuel at Esso. And at the moment, you can bag 4x points on your next visit.
Ooh, nice one.
Let the savings roll with Nectar.
Nectar required. Participating Esso stations only. Excludes NI. Valid on first qualifying transaction from the 2nd to the 30th of October. Full T's and C's, visit nectar.com/Esso.
Hope you got points on your car snacks too.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
If you've had a cough for 3 weeks or more, don't just ignore it. A cough that lasts 3 weeks or more could be a sign of cancer. It's probably nothing serious, but finding cancer early makes it more treatable. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice. Help us help you.
What does the future you look like? Studying with GBS, you are the future entrepreneur, accountant, construction manager, healthcare professional, or tourism specialist. We offer flexible study options and HNDs to degree-level education on 9 state-of-the-art campuses across London, Birmingham, Manchester, and Leeds. Enrollment is open now. Find out more at globalbanking.ac.uk. Study with GBS and shape the future you.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful
Radio.
Good morning, or good evening, or even good afternoon, depending on the times on you're listening to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. Today, it's a wonderful, wonderful day for Africa. See, the thing is, we read stories, we enjoy poetry, we just love books in Africa, because I know Africa is one place books still have value. It's been a wonderful time. Kane Prize Award, UK-based, gone out to announce those who have been shortlisted. And I must tell you, it's not an easy thing to be shortlisted. It's not an easy thing to end up being among the top, the very top 5. It's very, very competitive. A lot of writers from Africa, they present their work. It goes through scrutiny, judging, a lot of also thoughts about what has been written before the 5 are announced. So it's not a cup of tea, it's not an easy walk. And I know those who have attempted to write an essay, they know a book is not an essay. It's much longer. And I just want to announce how many people, or the people who have been ended up on Kane Prize for Africa Writing 2023, coming from some 28 African countries and competing 297 entries. Among all that competitive process, those who have ended up among the top five, I will mention the names. Right now, I'm with Yejide Kilango from Nigeria. Our book is This Tangible Thing, which was published this year.
It was published earlier this
year.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then we have also Ekemini Pius, also from Nigeria. His wonderful book, Daughters by Our Hands. Sounds very interesting. Can you imagine? I have them here with me. They will tell you more. I won't spoil it for them because even myself, I don't know. So I wouldn't go all the way. Of course, I'll go along mentioning each during their time when I'm talking to them. So I'll start off with those two. Welcome to the show, Yejide.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, Ekemini.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so we'll start with Yejide. Say hello to our listeners and introduce yourself further more than I've done, and also capture the other things you have done.
Okay.
And maybe your books as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello, Colorful Radio listeners, wherever you are in the world. My name is Yejide Kilanko. I'm from Nigeria, but I currently live in Canada. And my story is called This Tangible Thing. In addition to writing short stories, I write novels, I write poetry, I write children's fiction, I write creative nonfiction. I love words, I love to write. And in my day job, I do have a day job. My day job is as a social worker in children's mental health and child welfare. So it's a real honor to be here today, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Wow, amazing. Wow. All that, you know, all those many responsibilities, and still you managed to write a wonderful book like that. I mean, how do you do it?
I think earlier today we had, and they said, you know, what's your writing process? And I said, you know, I always go back to a quote from Toni Morrison that says, write at the edges of the day. And so I try to fit my writing in between my days. So what do I have? 5 minutes? I have 10 minutes? I jot things down because I don't have the luxury of time. And so I have to be quite focused, you know, when I do have that time. So, yeah, so I just kind of build it into my day.
Wow, I envy you. I definitely envy you because it's not easy. But you juggle with all this. In the end, victory. Wow, you tell me the secret later. Let me give you the chance, Ekemini, and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Oh, hi there. My name is Ekemini Pius. I'm from Nigeria. My short story is titled "Daughters by Our Hands," and it's a story that explores an imaginative world of only women, how childbearing works in that world. Apart from this short story, I'm also currently working on my debut novel and a short story collection. And it's nice to be here. It's actually my first time in London, so it's nice to be here to see London and to be shortlisted for this very prestigious prize.
Wow. Have you written other books yet? Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, I said I have two manuscripts I'm trying to develop right now. One is a novel, the other is a short story collection. So hopefully by the end of next year, I should have made significant inroads on the both of them. And I cannot wait to share it with the world.
Okay, wow. It's always, I'm always excited when I speak to writers because one of the greatest things that writers do, which is very unique, they take you to different worlds. And they give me hope because through my window, when I see the weather is horrible outside, I exercise my right to imagine. And I travel in my imagination and I land on Barbados where it's sunny and nice. And that's what I love about writing, because through books they take you to different worlds that you're not there, but they take you there. And it's just an amazing experience that we all go through. But now I have you here. For example, I'll start with you, Yejide, that In terms of what inspires you, in terms of writing and motivation, what motivates you? Because, yeah, Canada, now in UK, Yejide, Nigeria, so many different cultures, you meet many different people. Where does your inspiration come from?
So I started writing when I was young. I was 12. I started writing poetry. I was in boarding school in Nigeria, and I just needed an outlet and a way to just express my emotions. And now I would say life. I'm inspired by life, about people's experiences. My writing is how I process my world. When I have a question, so if something happens, I'm like, how can I explore this more? If I want to answer a question, or, you know, so really writing for me is how I explore things that happen around me, is how I imagine how things can be different. You had mentioned how books transport, stories transport us, right, to different places. So in writing with my characters, I'm thinking, okay, this is how things are, but how can they be? And getting a sense of even whether the character is, quote unquote, a difficult character or a bad character, understanding that, all of us as humans have stories, and there's always something that you may not understand why somebody's, why someone's acting the way they are acting. But if you have a sense of what's behind, what their story, then you can say, okay, this is why this person's acting this way. So I think stories are so powerful because they make us relatable. That I might be living in Nigeria as a young child, I was a voracious reader, but there's somebody living in America or Australia or India, but even through stories that we share similar life experience as human beings. So we can relate to each other. I can understand you better through a story versus me telling you, this is how my life is. So I think stories are just powerful ways of connecting us. And so it's that way of me finding connection with other people and understanding myself better, understanding my world better. And so I think it's just a privilege to be able to write and to be able to read other people's stories, because I really think they're powerful.
Kemini, what's your inspiration? Where does it come from? Because I wouldn't say you've been to Canada and any other places, but here you are in London.
Yeah, you're right. I've lived all my life in Nigeria, but what inspires me? What growing up, writers like Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. I remember how I felt the very first time I read Purple Hibiscus, and when I read the story, I could not process what was happening to me at the time. So I had to read the book again. And when I was done, I made up my mind that this is what I want to do with my life. This is how I want to tell stories. This is how I want to build characters that are so remarkable that my readers will want to come back again and again and again. And so that marked the beginning of my writing process, of my writing journey. And as I went along the way, I encountered authors like Leslie Nekarima, What It Means When a Man Falls from the Sky, and that marked my entry into speculative fiction, because I could see that she was introducing me into something that I had not previously known, how to write fiction about a new world that is different from the one we currently live in. But even though that world is supernatural, it contains elements of the human condition. It can incorporate, our culture. It can incorporate our feelings and our emotions as humans. So
I have to emphasize the point. It's not a cup of tea. It's not a walk in the park. So it's congratulations for your great work. Again, back to you, Yejide, that I got lots of favorite writers in Nigeria. I read Wole Soyinka, Chinwe Achebe, and my very favorite novel, which always reminded me to stand not to fall, was Things Fall Apart. And the bit that he talks about that is where he says, the sender cannot hold things fall apart. And it's powerful statement, and you can just, it cuts across many aspects of life, whether it is politics, whether it's whatever it is. You always have to remember there has to be order, and that order must stand. How much does your writing get influenced maybe by a social issue or even politics?
Significantly. So my very first time I went to university, I actually studied political science. And my goal was going to be, I was going to be a lawyer. And then life happened, you know, and I ended up, I'm in the social work field right now. But I'm very, I you know, for some people, they're like, oh, people have different reasons why they write. But I think I belong to the school of writers that think that that you have a duty to kind of highlight the social issues around you as a writer. We definitely want to escape and have fun books and, you know, book that talked about different things, but that's my calling. And so for my very first book, novel called Daughters Who Walk This Path, it was set entirely in Nigeria, set in the 80s when I grew up, and a lot of politics, lots about child sexual abuse, lots about, you know, patriarchy, lots about things. So for me, it weaves itself in everything I write. You know, one of the things I always remember said, the personal is political. So it's very hard for you to kind of separate, I think, in this times, how, you know, what's happening around you shapes who you are, shapes your privileges, shapes the opportunities that you have access to. So for me, it's part of what I do.
Great, great. Any influence? Oh. By PDP or by
PDP.
Or by Tinubu.
Oh well. I have a very strange, for want of a better word, a very strange writing process, in the sense that when I most times when I start out, when I want to write, what I want to write is not a direct, it doesn't come directly from what I have seen. Like I don't see something and then I say, okay, let me write about this because I saw this, and it's kind of a direct influence. Sometimes most of the things I've written, they just come to me. They just come. And when I've written it that I realize that this thing I have written can be a response to maybe patriarchy, or maybe it can be
inspiration by what was going on around the environment.
Exactly. So, for instance, when I wrote this short story, "Daughters by Our Hands," it's something that just came. I just started writing it because the idea was crazy at the time.
Yeah.
And it was when I started writing the character of the hairdresser, the hairdresser that was sad because she could not give birth, and she was looking for a way to get buy fingernails so that she could also have her own children. It was when I was writing that character that it occurred to me that this story I am writing, or that I'm almost done writing, can also be a feminist story. It can be a very good, you can have a very good discourse about feminism through this story. Okay. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that I don't start out with an inspiration in my mind, but at the end of the story almost, when I'm done, the story almost always is like, you can derive many things from it.
Okay.
You can derive lessons about feminism, about, you know, culture, about politics from it. But it most times is not my inspiration when I begin to write.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
So, because we are live here, I am just going to welcome to the studio. Welcome. Join us with our listeners, with our viewers on social media. So I'm just going to quickly give you the chance to introduce each of, you know, yourselves, because it's quicker that way, and also tell us your book beginning from this. Yeah, okay, go for it.
I'm Yvonne Kusima. My short story, Weaving, is about a young girl, Thomasina, who moves to the village from the city, and she has to like learn now how to adjust to this village life by learning how to make mats with her grandma, which is also a struggle because they're using old plastic straws, so she has to collect straws in that village setting to make these mats. So yeah, weaving is inspired by fashion, by the Bible, by Greek mythology, by life in general, about who we are in life.
Oh, okay.
Like our stories, because as humans, as people, as anything, we're weaving something in our careers, just, you know, like fashion, like, you know, also who we are as people. We're weaving every day. Even all of us are telling a story, whether you're a writer or you're not, you're, you know, saying something with your clothes, with your career, you know, your goals. So
that's so the key thing is to make sure you do a very good weaving, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Like, what are you doing, basically? And then I feed that into my story. In my story, they're making, it's a type of weaving, the mat, because people have been, like, weaving for, like, many centuries. Also, like, many people have, like, in the past, from, like, a long ago, like, centuries ago, people used to tell stories with their textiles. They use their textiles. There's still textiles depicting like stories, like of like battles and thing and conquests and things like that with textiles. Like they wove them. Like they told, like they told the story by weaving those into like cloth. So I was inspired by all of that. So how my character like makes this mat, and then she's raped on the mat, like, you know, how art meets, you know, how art meets life, you know, so, or life meets art, or any, whichever way.
It's amazing, See, Africa is really cool. By the way, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Making
so
it to the top five Kain Prize. It's not it's not easy to come that far. And which country are you representing?
Uganda.
Wow. East Africa, we are there. That's cool. See,
you know, like this is my corner, this is my, you can't, I own this, you can't like get those from
what
here.
Americans call my hood.
Like you can't do this here. So that's why like in weaving you imagine that, you know, that these people can't even do that. So that's why they're using these straws. And also like even if they could, like maybe like business wise you're trying to like be different, be unique, because everyone is selling maybe the same thing, and then they're not really, you know, so but it's all hard.
Your turn.
Hi everyone, it's nice to meet you. My name is Tlotlo Tsamase and I'm a Botswana author. I am from Botswana. My story is called Peeling Time Deluxe Edition, and basically it's about a musician, artist, slash actor who kidnaps women's consciousness and traps them in music. And the idea for the story came one time when I was jogging and listening to a lot of rap music. I find rap songs very poetic. And as I was listening to this music, I came up with the idea of writing a story about women trapped in songs. And I wondered, how could you take the physicality of bodies and move it into something that is abstract that you listen to? And the title basically comes from just the theme of how the story is about peeling time, peeling the layers of time and reality to kind of show the horrors, the realities of like women when they experience gender-based violence. But particularly with this story, I was trying to talk about the toxicity of patriarchy, the oppression of women. And I come from Botswana, which is a country of a very small population. And about 3 years ago, I remember coming across a news report about how every 3 hours a woman is raped. And our population for the whole country is about 2 million. So it was crazy insane to hear about that. And because we're also a neighbor of like South Africa, another African country, we're just hearing so many reports on the violence against women, you know, especially in spaces that are just casual or usual, like a mall or like just walking in the street. And I was sort of tired and or traumatized by having to see black women dying consistently. And so I had to depict this violent system, but a woman existing in that violent system, but fighting it in her own way. And that's what the story is about, told from two points of views.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Those who are joining us, you are listening to us all the way from the heart of London. And we are coming to you wherever you are in the world on Colorful Radio. And yeah, I'm your host, Julius Balut, of course. And today's a great, great day. Kind Prize Award, the fifth. Those who made it to the last five. It's a biggie. It doesn't just happen. It's amazing. And we are so happy to host all of them here on Colorful Studios, you know, in London. And of course, traveled different. We came from listening to Yejide and also Pius from Nigeria. We have also a representation from Uganda, from Botswana, and right now with me here. And we are listening to the kind of books they have written. And I'm not talking about just books. We are talking about those who are now, by the judges, deemed to be some of the very best writers from African continent. So it's happening here in London, wherever you are joining us. That's what we are on about. Colorful Radio, the show Africa in Focus. And I'm your host, Julius Baluto. Let's come back to you. What was your inspiration? What inspires you? And I know a lot of things can inspire me. Sometimes I watch a movie and I sleep and the movie begins to watch me back. And while I'm sleeping, I begin to dream about the movie. There's a lot of things that we see, and little do we know they influence us or not. So what has been your inspiration?
For the story in particular or just writing?
Your writings. Where is it coming from?
My writing inspiration in general, I'm inspired by people like Charles Dickens. When I was young and I read works by Charles Dickens, that's when I was like, oh, someone can like do this like for a living, like their job, like this is what they can do. So I was like, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up. But in Africa, that was kind of like, you know, so I didn't really tell people that, you know, I kept it to myself until I grew up and I was like, no, I really have to, you know, do this. This is who I want to be, you know, a writer. Yeah, I want to, like, you know, be creative and that's it. That's my work, you know, I'm a writer. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
For me, I get inspirations from so many things because I've written so many stories that explore many stuff. Some of them, it's like what if questions, you know, as I gave an example with Peeling Time, it was trying to portray a what if world where women could actually go above this violent system. Sometimes it's honestly like film, you know, or like music. When I was younger, I actually wanted to be a film director before I wanted to be a writer, you know, but as a kid, I realized then that you don't have many resources to actually create a movie, even though I didn't know what it took to make a movie. And even then, like she just said, and when you're growing up in an African country saying you want to be a writer, you know, your parents would advise you, like, you need to take a much more practical route that would pay you well, you know, things like law, medicine, or whatnot. Other things is just like hearing a line that a character says and you just find a world in it. I liked what you said when you like lying there and you're watching a movie and it's like it's watching you back. Yeah. Just that line itself, I'm like, I could just start a story from that, you know?
Where the movie's watching.
That's like, yeah, that's like surrealism, honestly.
So you think there is hope for me?
You sounded like a writer
There's actually this movie with Jim Carrey,
uh-huh,
where like he's on a reality show and he doesn't know it, where like they're watching him, where the whole world is watching him.
Yeah, it's a nice blend.
I forgot the title, but it's Jim Carrey.
Yeah, yeah, I watched it. It's called the Truman Show. Okay.
And he's born and he's in this reality show and the whole world is watching him, but he doesn't know it.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing what our imaginations can do.
Yeah. Yeah, and, and also that's the freedom, exactly, that someone can like think of a movie like that and make it into a movie. Yeah. That idea,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 something nice and long.
Yeah.
So how true is it that in writing you can escape? Because for me, I always think if you stress me out, I'll go to my room. I'll use my imagination. I'll look outside. It's all cold and gloomy, and in my imagination, yeah, I'll travel to Barbados where it's sunny.
Yeah, no, it's true. Because I was telling her, like the fantasy, the work of fantasy I'm doing right now, it's like I'm like on this adventure, like in this world, but like on this adventure, like with this character, like that I've created and what she's doing, and this different, you know, fantasies can be anything. So it's like when this, I'm seeing like all this, but in my mind with my story, I get to like, you know, experience this other, you know,
yeah,
type of thing, reality, it's basically. Amazing.
It's amazing. It's great. I mean, I quite admire what you have achieved. It's really great. It's really great to be where you are. Don't take it for granted.
Okay. No.
It doesn't just happen.
Yes, it's so
and
cool.
The competition was very tough.
Yeah.
And those who are judging you are not just ordinary people.
Exactly.
They know what they've done.
Yeah.
And they have a huge profile to back it up.
Yeah, so if they say your work is, you know,
exactly,
your work is,
should be, you know, drinking your best Coca-Cola. I'm not promoting fizzy drinks.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a moment of celebration, whichever way you translate.
Celebrate.
That.
Yeah. True.
It's very surreal.
Especially for writers, because you write and you don't know, like, you know, how it's going to be received and what, because writing is practically like a personal thing, but like when people are like, you know, it's like when you dress up and watch, you know, for people who like, you know, fashion, like, but when you're told, like, that's, you know,
it's good.
Yeah,
it's good. It's a moment of celebration.
Yeah.
So what does this mean to you, just being here, going through the Kane Award process? What does it mean to you?
It's lovely, especially like all the stuff they're doing to promote. Like I said, writing, it's tough. Like, you know, when you look at that blank page and you have to like fill it up, like 100, even 100 words is a celebration. 100 words that, you know, like make sense, like, you know, flow. So like for someone else like to, you know, appreciate that, but also Kane Prize goes beyond that, like they go beyond, the team goes beyond that, like bringing us here, like exposing us to all this, as in like it's like, you know, feel like kids, you know, taking you through this course. They don't have to like do all that, you know, like not all like award shows do that, not all prizes do that, like, but like to give you this experience and like appreciate you, like, basically, like they go above and beyond, like to be here to make sure like we are all here and like talking about our work, you know.
Yeah.
It's big, like to meet like publishers and agents. They don't have to do any of that. They can be like, oh, this is a prize, and like get the funding and be like, you know, they don't have to, you know. But the fact that they're doing all of it,
it's great. Yeah.
To add on to what she says, is like it's a huge honor. I'm very happy, you know, especially coming from Botswana. Because we're a very small populated country, you don't really see a lot of like Botswana authors. So it's almost like you're just alone there in the space.
That's great.
So to actually be here, I hope it also opens doors to see other Botswana in these same spaces, but also having to interact with like other authors, because you're always like writing is a very solitary thing. You know, you're just there in your own space writing, but then having these awards and then them taking you out from not just like your country or your own space, but it takes you also out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And just like yesterday, one of the first events, we're interacting with like publishers and literary agents, and we're just like talking to them one-on-one and just like asking questions, and you get to learn stuff that, you know, is not really out there. You know, it's not like you can go to a school and learn about like the business of like publishing. So this is very educational and it's very surreal. And even talking with the other authors and hearing about the experiences, you don't feel like you're the only crazy one.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's great. But the beauty of it all, writers create different worlds.
Yeah.
For societies.
Yeah.
And any time I picked up a book to read,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I was so excited to know I'm on a journey to know something mm-hmm. I didn't know before.
Yeah.
Let me surprise you, some way back,
mm-hmm.
almost 30 years ago, something. There were writers in the UK who were writing series of books. I mean, talked about Charles Dickens,
yeah.
Oliver Twist, all
yeah,
these books and
yeah.
stuff. But almost at the same time, we had James Hadley Chase. He was writing series. And I was reading his books when I was in Africa.
Yeah.
And it's only when I learned in the UK, all the streets he used to talk about in the book, I see they are real
yeah.
ones. They are real streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything I used to, and I'll follow. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if you were to talk to me after reading one of his books, and if you live in London,
yeah.
I would describe so many places. That yeah. corner there, that corner
maybe,
there,
even,
that
even
corner
even
there.
If you like,
and you're
yeah.
like, you live in London? I'm saying, no.
Yeah.
Just read a book.
No, yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's
so
it.
It's a huge service to
yeah.
society.
Yeah.
Never take it for granted.
Colorful radio.
Colorful
radio.
I used to have that experience, like when you'd read like so many books from home that I said like in the UK or US, and they're mentioning all these streets, and then if you end up in these streets, it's like, whoa, this is a real place, and the author described it exactly as it is, like they captured the essence of that place, the sounds, the colorful nature of it. You know, I always try and learn from authors who are able to capture that and be like, how do they actually execute this, you know? So it's like a study.
It's amazing work writers do. I mean, maximum respect. And it's not just writing for books, also what we watch. Movies?
Yes, because actually
soaps, whatever,
many,
them comedy.
Many books are turned into movies, provide that, you know, the foundation for movies. So
So in terms of perhaps when you go back to Uganda, what comes in your mind? How do you see the future panning out in your writing?
I'm like, I have to complete this book I'm writing right now, you know? You know, and send it out there. It makes you feel more confident, more, you know, like, you know, because at first when you're writing, you're like, oh my God, who's going to read this? Who's going to what? And then people are like, wow, this is amazing and wow. So it gives you, you know, you don't have those doubts you had before. You write with, you're like, you know, I've done this before. It's like cooking. It's like if you bake a cake, you're like, and people are like, wow, you can do it. You're like, now you're going to like bake every day.
It's true.
You know, you trust
with confidence, isn't
it? You're like, this is okay. Because before, like, if you're not confident, you're like, oh my God.
It affects your writing.
Yeah, it affects your writing. You're like, maybe they won't like this, so it changed. Maybe you're like, this story is not working.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have worked if you were more confident, you know?
It's true.
So, so this makes you more confident, which is everything for writing.
Oh, that's very true. And like the fact that you're from Botswana, I love Botswana. You see, it's one of the countries in Africa that is so peaceful.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of countries in Africa get into the news for the bad reasons.
Yeah.
And I love Botswana. It's just there. Yeah. But you don't know it's there.
Exactly. I always have this conversation with like fellow other Africans when they find out like how small the population is. Or they're like, no wonder why Botswana is so quiet. You never see them there. Why would they be causing an issue when they're so, you know? And they're like, I want to come to Botswana.
Do you know, when you say 2 million, crossover to Kenya, it's Nairobi, the capital city, 6 million people.
I mean, and our whole, that's or like
Uganda, Kampala.
3 times our country.
But it's a nice country.
Yeah,
and I've got friends there, by the way. One day I'll visit Botswana. I've been invited many times.
You should go.
From Gaborone, the university. I've got a lecturer there.
Oh, okay.
It's a friend of mine, Jama, Information Sciences.
Okay.
So I've got some friends in Botswana. Yeah. I almost got there when I was in, Zimbabwe.
Oh, okay.
He was tempting me to use a bus. It's a bus ride away.
Yeah.
But given that it's a different country, when people say that, I always think
Botswana is
a place you're going to cross a boundary. It must be far.
I would say it's terrifying to maybe do that in certain countries. But like Botswana, yes, there may be a little crime, but compared to other places, like it's very low. You know, you'd be safe.
Yeah, don't talk about crime when you're talking about Africa. We have it every day here.
We
have crime everywhere, wherever you go. So it's not just African countries.
True.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel, in many aspects, I feel safer in a capital city in Africa than in London.
I mean, you know.
Or even, New York or wherever.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like home as well.
Yeah.
So you'd feel safe like at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it recognizes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything knows you. I never put on repellent for mosquitoes. I always say, our mosquitoes must know me.
Like, hi, champ. Yeah.
Don't sting me so hard.
Yeah.
I'm your friend. You should know each other.
Gosh.
Or you begin to put on this cream because of hot sunshine. In Africa? No, I'll never do that. Our sunshine must know me if I come back. Yeah.
Welcome home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be afraid.
I do miss our sun. I really do.
So many things, anti-repellent, sunscreen, you know, things that are normal, like things that people wouldn't don't use in Africa.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a biggie. Sometimes it's a part of planning journey. If you want to go to Africa, you've never been there before, repellent, sun cream, name it, everything.
Pills and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And also, if you are given the chance, you can have a personalized mosquito net because of fear.
I have a certain blood group because, like, when I'm with like friends, the mosquitoes are biting them and the mosquitoes don't come close to me. And
really?
I'm just like, I think it's maybe like, I can't remember.
They know you.
And I'm like, they never bite me. They don't, you know. Yeah, they just skip over me and go to the next person.
Yeah. Probably there are many things in Africa that we take for granted, but actually they are very amazing.
Mm.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't come to Africa to have a suntan. I'll just come and come back, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but actually there are people who pay to get suntan.
In Africa?
No. Here in the Western countries.
Oh, okay, I mean, they have those suntan technology beds and everything.
Technology. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Stand in front of a machine to look different. Suntan, you know, look like you've been to Africa.
That's a story there.
So it's amazing. So there are many things we take for granted. There are many things we take for granted.
Yeah.
But actually, they are not. If you thought about it, you are blessed.
Mm-hmm.
In Africa, how much does, if we start with you perhaps, and we talk to you as well, how much does politics inspire your writing?
Mm-hmm.
Or does it feature, or you're like,
no,
I just want to tell stories that are...
Yeah, that's how I am. I'm not into politics. I'm like, I just want to write like things that are, like you can write about issues, but not like make them like... I don't know, sort of like as if you're trying to like be political,
yeah.
like bring
like as if you were like like a politician.
Yeah.
You know? Like me, I just want to like write and
you don't
write.
Want to what have I'm, a character who is like, chanting slogans like power to the people.
Yeah, like to be like, yeah, like I'm a writer and then okay. Turn political or what. No, I just want to like write my stories and like make people laugh or like highlight like what's happening in society, but not, you know.
Yeah. Well, for me, I mean, I write about many issues, and I guess like politics could also like be deconstructed for like different things because depending where the work is going to be published, it's your identity itself is political, you know. So I'm always just looking at like social issues that we have, gender-based violence, climate issues.
Yeah, but then there is this where like a writer is like. As if they're a politician. You
yeah, I get
like
that.
Like as if they're trying to use their writing to like.
I mean, writing itself is an activism, and there are other authors who actually use that to talk about the political issues. Yes, political issues in that country because of the issues that are happening there and wanting the world to know about them. So,
okay. Yeah, so it's great. All the best. I look forward from your next books.
Oh, yes.
I'm now inspired. I feel like finishing one book, at least one book.
You will. We look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, thank you.
The pressure's on.
Thank you. I'll remember that. Yeah, every day when I go home, I'll remember that.
Yeah. Write at least 100 words a day. By the end of the year, how many of those?
It's
true. It's true.
There's some authors
it's focus,
write every day.
Yeah, a little every day.
But I can't write every day.
Mm. It's like building or anything. Like, you know, brick by
one
brick.
One brick at a time.
And the house falls down sometimes.
And you start from afresh again.
Yeah.
You never give up, is it?
Yeah, because that's what writing is. Because you may be like, oh my goodness. And then like write and rewrite and write and, you know. So.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew? An intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
In our studios today, we are hosting the entire crew, the top five finalists, Kane Prize Award happening in the UK, in London specifically, and we are coming to you all the way wherever you are in the globe. And this is Colorful Radio, and I'm your host, Julius Baluta. Yeah, so stay with us, don't go away. We are coming live to you from Colorful Radio, from the heart of London to wherever you are on Colorful Radio. This is Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluta, and today's show, we are hosting the top five finalists who have been shortlisted, great writers across Africa, and these are the top five. We are with them in the studios at Colorful Radio. Yeah, you're going to hear more of this next up.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Really, thank you. Number one, let me start by congratulating you for coming this far.
Thank you so much.
Don't take it for granted. I mean, you were all of you, some 291 entries.
That is true.
And it's not a walk in the park.
No.
It's not a walk in the park. So let's start by, I want to give you the chance to introduce yourself to our viewers, our listeners. And tell us a bit more about your book.
So I'm Mambuguma Jen. I'm one of the co-authors of A Soul of Small Places with my spouse, Wupa Diallo. This is our daughter, Yasmina, for the viewers. Sorry for the noise pollution in advance. It's absolutely wonderful to be here.
No, it's a great experience also to have her around with us. And probably, you never know, one of these days, she may be writing a book.
Maybe. Yeah. Going where she's going, we're thinking we maybe have a basketball player on our hands. Who knows?
You never know. Yeah. You never know what choices they end up making, mm-hmm. but it's great. I think it's inspiring also for her to be here. As we talk about your work, it's really mm-hmm. great. Probably if she was to tell you in the future, being in the studio in London, it's not just a walk in the park. It doesn't happen every day. So.
No, it does not. Yeah. No, it does not. Children remember. Children do remember subconsciously at the very least. It's just a wonderful experience, and we're really grateful to the prize. For everything they've been doing and allowing this to happen, and for us to experience this as a family. Absolutely.
Great. Yeah, Mom, introduce yourself as well, and let's speak close to the mics.
Thank you so much, but my English is very bad. French.
It's okay. Yeah. Take your time, we can understand you.
Okay. Je m'appelle Wapa Diallo, je suis juriste spécialisée en droits humains, genre et éducation. Et je suis dans tout ce qui. Je ne suis pas vraiment écrivaine, je suis dans le plaidoyer pour les violences basées sur le genre.
So she said that her name is Wupa Diallo, and she's one of the co-authors. She's a jurist and an expert on gender-based violence and women's rights in education. She's not really an author, but she helped inspire the story.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
But working together. You work together on it.
On the story?
Yeah.
No, not exactly. So I wrote the story in its entirety, actually. So this is not a co-authoring where we split roles, decided on the characters, and just evened out the way we're going to draft and craft it. Essentially what happened is that we had met very recently at the time, and I was working on a similar kind of story. But obviously, being a man working... Obviously, being a man and working on a story with themes that are so intimate and personal and traumatic, it was difficult for me to find. I was kind of aimless at the time, trying to write a story that was not necessarily mine to write, because this is a victim story. I mean, you know, it's a victim's theme, more so than the story itself. But we were visiting a teenage girl's shelter outside of Dakar called La Maison Rose, and they host young girls who are usually kicked out of home for unwanted pregnancies, which is a big issue. And we were discussing Wopa's work, and Wopa founded an NGO when she was 15 years old in northeastern Senegal, dealing with issues around gender-based violence. And something about the way she was, the passion with which she was expressing herself, the way she described her home versus the rest of Senegal that I knew, really spoke to me. And she spoke to a lot of social issues, not necessarily the incidents of the sexual violence per se, but the repercussions for the victim, the ostracization, the patriarchy around it, the blame the victim mentality, the whole social context. And everything in what she said gave me the impetus for the story. I thought, okay, I cannot write a rape victim story, but I can place it in a larger context that would make a lot more sense. And, you know, as I started writing it, I was discussing things with her. It's the village is a fictional variation of her own village, Anyamchodai, which actually exists. The statue, which is the low-lying thread, connecting thread throughout the story, is an actual feature in her village. The term Sukunyo is a Fulani term for the spirit that's in the story. So in many ways, the story could not have existed if Wopa wasn't the activist that she is, if I hadn't heard her speak with such emotion and such intensity, and if she hadn't provided some of those cultural elements that are a bit foreign to me, because I'm part Fulani, but she's 100% Fulani. And so setting it in that place, I needed to have a little bit more of a sense of the space around it. So that's where the co-authoring comes from, but it's not a co-authoring in the practice of writing.
Oh, thank you very, very much for clarifying that. And you're both from Senegal, yeah?
She is from Senegal, okay. Yes. She's from northeastern Senegal, Matam specifically. Mm-hmm. I was born in New York and grew up in Paris, but my father is Senegalese from the coastal areas. And my mother is half Senegalese, born in France. But her father is also Fulani, so that's why I'm part Fulani myself.
Wow. Okay. What was it? I missed it. What was the title of your book again?
A Soul of Small Places.
All right. That's amazing. It's amazing. And yeah, what? Of course, you talked about what inspired you.
Yes.
And it's really amazing. I always say that writing you take us to different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And give us different experiences that go on. But sometimes, yes, some of them are, like in your case, I think it's a real life story, kind of. And it's amazing. So,
thank you.
What do you think about the impact it may have within the communities that these things happen?
Well, that was part of the idea behind the story. I'm a horror writer, dark fantasy. So that's kind of my natural inclination towards things. I wanted this to be a bit more than just a sociological retelling. I wanted to make sure it was a coming-of-age story, that it went broader than that, because I also wanted this to be very authentically African and to translate a lot of the cultural background. And the natural mysticism that kind of flows from being Senegalese, the stories you hear as a child about your own family, about the places that you visit, and to really give it a sense of place and just kind of time, out of time, because it's obviously happening, it's a contemporary story, but you could be lost in the time. I mean, it is a contemporary story, but whether it happens now or in the 1800s or in 2555, I still wanted to give this sense of dislocation in the writing. So that's why it's very mystical. That's why it's tied into the origins of where the village is from, even if it's true or not. You know, that's the representation. That sometimes representations matter more than the actual history of a place, you know, because it's, sure, what people carry, and that's the values that they translate. But I also wanted this to be a platform for the message, for women's empowerment, for girls' empowerment, for also, and that's why elements of the story, the realization when the drama happens. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who hasn't read it. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make sure that people realize that sometimes the resolutions do not come from the issue, but they come from what people should care about an issue, but they don't. Sometimes things get resolved because they're focusing on another issue. So here you have gender-based violence, which is a problem. But I'm hoping that through the story, there's that activist voice that is WOPA's that translates through that. And that when people read it, they realize that, yes, it is a fantasy story, it is a horror story, but there's the real-life horror behind it. And that those elements are weaved in subtly enough for people to enjoy the story without feeling too tagged on. But they also leave with a strong sense of, there is a problem, and this is what we can do about it to address it.
Thank you very much. And how do you see probably a younger person looking up to greater writers translating your moment, this moment in London, Kane Prize Awards, having gone through some 271 entries, and that moment, how do you think a younger writer interprets that?
You mean like looking up to us?
Yeah, thinking, what it means with this moment, what it means for you.
What it means for me. Oh, wow. It means the world to me. It means the world to me. I...